This is Jazz Discoveries on listener-supported Jazz on 2. I'm your host, Robert Bullington. In this edition, I'm joined in the studio by trumpeter Danny Tobias and pianist Steve Kramer for a discussion in live performance.
You know, I was lucky enough to get into the studio with the Artie Shaw Band when Artie was still alive and record many songs, none of which ever got released. Artie had a problem with one of the sax players. He thought the intonation was off, so he never released any of the albums. And as far as I know, his estate, which I think has been in legal troubles for years in terms of offspring suing and this kind of thing, none of this music has ever been released. So the first time I ever got to record any kind of a CD was with a guy named Bob Finelli. He used to work for Johnson & Johnson, and when he made the CD, he changed his last name because he was afraid that being a musician would cause problems with his job. So when he first made the CD, he changed his last name to Bobby Bard. Several years later, he remastered the CD and used his last name because he had retired. So the cut I think you're going to play shows Bob singing and playing the alto sax. I'm on piano, and Dave Brown's on drums, and Pete Colangelo's on bass. This is called It Could Happen to You.
All right.
Hide your heart from sight, lock your dreams at night. It could happen to you. Don't count stars or you might stumble. Someone drops aside and down you tumble. Keep an eye on spring. Run when church bells ring. It could happen to you. All I did was wonder how your arms would be, and it happened to me. Thank you. your heart from sight. Lock your dreams at night. It could happen to you. Don't count stars or you might stumble. Someone drops a sigh and down. And when church bells ring, it could happen to you. All I did was wonder how your arms would be, and it happened, and it happened.
Say, Steve, let's share another track from the CD with Bob Fanelli. This one's, I think, Like Someone in Love.
Right. You know, I remember when we did the CD, Bob was in another part of the studio, and he was singing. And I was kept thinking, why is he singing? He's a saxophone player. And all the songs that we recorded, he was singing and also playing sax. I couldn't figure it out. So we drove together on the way back. I said, Bob, I got to ask you something. Why are you singing all the time? He said, well, I'm a singer. And I had no idea because I only knew him as a sax player. He goes, this whole album is going to be me singing and playing the sax. So I was like, oh, great. Okay, I had no idea. And this was one of the cuts from that. It's called Like Someone in Love. It's a ballad.
Okay, let's hear it. This is Like Someone in Love from the CD Bob Fanelli Plays and Sings. And it also features Steve Kramer on piano.
Lately, I find myself out gazing at stars, hearing guitars like someone in love. Sometimes. Things I do astound me. Mostly whenever you're around me. Lately I seem as though I had wings. I bump into things like someone in love. Each time just like someone in love. Thank you.
one of the great things about knowing somebody like Danny for so long is that you see how a young artist, and like you said, we're not really that much difference in age, but how he's grown as an artist is just tremendous, because he's very active on the scene, plays
Tell me more. I'd like to.
You know, he paid me to say this, right? I'm expecting a couple of 20s at this. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of venues to play in. I think Danny pretty much does a lot of work, right? Danny, you play quite a bit in the city.
I have to travel farther and farther to do it these
right.
days.
And, you know, this is the type of music, this great music that we love, jazz. Personally, as I've gotten a little bit more opinionated in my older age, is that I just think it's the kind of music that gets short shrift in this country, really, this cultural wasteland that sometimes we have musically going on. I don't mean to put down other kinds of music, but I've recently noticed in a lot of things on television and movies that jazz gets put down a lot. It's like the punchline of a joke, I can't figure out why that is. It's not certainly the kind of music that gets the most airplay, I guess, or it's not as successful in terms of money making, right? I
mean, right,
it's pretty, but it's funny because today, you know, when you have a lot of these rock groups that are finding that because of the way CDs are sold today, or music is out there, you know, albums just don't get sold anymore, right?
No.
So a lot of music gets ripped off. So a lot of these cats who, you know, rock groups that have certainly more gigs than jazz guys, you know, there's a lot of complaining going on, but just imagine how jazz musicians feel. I mean, the gigs were slim to begin with then, you know, back when albums did sell. And so it's even worse for jazz musicians. And I'm always stupefied how some of these so-called hip television shows, which have great comic hosts, you know, Jimmy Kimmel, all those cats, they're great, they're funny, I love those guys, but they never have jazz on their show that much.
Okay.
Am I wrong?
Okay, so what do you think about this ensemble that Stephen Colbert has built up?
I like that.
The Late Show.
Yeah.
Well, Jean-Baptiste, the New Orleans guy.
Yeah. And the drummer in that band is Joe Saylor, who used to play drums with Vince Giordano in the Nighthawks.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of cool. He's got it's neat.
Now, do they have musical acts that are jazz acts?
Occasionally, there's somebody sort of in that genre.
So maybe he's a little hipper, and I haven't watched that.
And Harry Connick has a show now, and he's got a jazz band sort of backing him up. So it's.
And the Roots are sort of, you know, for.
I mean, there's some soul there.
I remember a story a long time ago when our friend, we mentioned Nick Strausser, he went to go see the David Letterman show, and he just happened to go on Charlie Parker's birthday.
Ah.
And he was back near the entrance to the studio, and Paul Schaefer came walking by, and Nick said to him, "Hey, Paul, it's Charlie Parker's birthday. Going to have any jazz on the show?" And Paul turned around and said, "Jazz doesn't sell."
There you go.
Well, and the other thing that isn't lost on me, too, is that, you know, we're on the edge of Trenton. And you can tell I didn't grow up here because I didn't say Trenton. This was a real crossroads for jazz. And I mean, you know, a generation ago, you know, what I've learned from interviewing people locally is that somebody who came up through the studio band at Trenton Central High School was ready to go out on gigs.
Oh, yeah. Well, Clifford Adams was a great Trenton trombonist who played with Kool and the Gang for years.
And Tommy Grice taught there.
Was my music teacher, as well as Tom Passarella. A couple of the guys from Kool and the Gang went to Trenton High. Sarah Dash was a well-known singer
who's still
Betty
in the
LaBelle.
Community now and active.
Right, I ran into her not too long ago. And you know what? It's tough because in Trenton, and you're in the Hamilton system, Danny, but Trenton doesn't have a great feeder system into the high school, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was.
Or even in the middle, the middle school.
It was wiped out a bunch of years ago. They're trying to rebuild it now.
We want to see things like that happen, you know, and entities like the Trenton Community Music School are helping because they're not fixated on one style of music, and they're really trying to expose kids to you know, the whole, what do you want to say, the patchwork quilt, you know,
the two women who started that school I knew, because when they first started the Trenton Community School, me and a few other Trenton musicians were asked to be on the board to help, you know, consult about what to do. And, you know, it's an uphill battle because it's, you know how it is, Dan. It's difficult to rent instruments. It's costly. Right. There has to be a feeder system from elementary to middle school to high school. And if the arts aren't valued as much because, you know, they want the kids to achieve more and more in the academic area, those types of, you know, the arts suffer. And so do sports. And maybe some other, the art, you know, whatever. It all suffers. But one thing's for sure, when I came up in Junior 2 and the Trenton High, music was valued. There was elementary instrumental music. And we had great teachers there. Passarella started out there, actually, Junior 2. And that fed into the middle school. So we had a great orchestra. When Junior 2, which is, you know, right around the corner from here, had their school musicals, we had a great orchestra. Live. It was no tape back then. It was all live. And then, of course, Trenton High, when I went there, suffered a little bit. There was the big band. We had the big band. But we didn't really do big musicals in Trenton High when I was there. That was kind of a drag. I was hoping that we would do that, but we didn't have that then.
And that's part of your life too, isn't it, Steve, that you served as a music director for musicals?
I did a lot of musicals, actually more when I moved back here, because I worked at the Petty School for a long time, and I did their school musicals for at least 10 years. I took over for a guy who retired over there. And I did, you mentioned before, I worked for the Ice Capades. I was assistant conductor, piano player for that for 2 years. So, yes, I did play Madison Square Garden with Teddy Ruxpin. And then Artie's band. But I did a little cabaret show that went on the road here and there. I played in different cities. Yeah, it was a great experience. And then moving back here, everything pretty much stopped. No more road.
Yeah. All right. Well, what can you share with us to lift our spirits a little bit and make us feel hopeful?
Well, one thing I'm going to interject to give hope. I've been working a lot in New York for the last couple of years, and there's a resurgence in like swinging traditional jazz. You can go to a different place every night and hear a different band in clubs and
in the city.
It's like alive and young people playing it, like kids in their 20s coming out of Juilliard just playing their butts off, and that's very hopeful.
Amen.
Very hopeful.
Amen.
And don't you think YouTube has really had a lot to do with in terms of the educating young kids? Like, we had to listen to records. That's all we had were records. But they can go on these sites and watch players.
Oh, yeah.
Watch those great moments.
They could, and there's educational tools.
Anything you can think of, you can find. You know, it's like,
plus, there's all these lessons online, too. You can watch great piano players teach different harmonies and jazz licks and stuff like that.
It's not a jazz moment, but still, because you're talking about YouTube, one of those moments that I think, you know, everybody needs to watch if they want to understand the power of the arts and of people sharing. There was that moment when Vladimir Horowitz got invited back to Russia.
Oh, yeah.
Back to the Soviet Union. He gave that concert at the Moscow Conservatory. And you can find the clip on YouTube. He's playing Schumann's Träumerei.
Yeah.
And as they go around the room, you see these Muscovites there with tears running down their faces. Yeah. Beautiful moment. And you think that was the beginning of the opening up of the Soviet Union.
Hmm. You know, I got a chance to see Vladimir Horowitz live at Symphony Hall in Boston.
Wow.
And you know, sometimes you could sit on the stage. So somehow, I don't know how I got to do this, but there was quite a few of us on the stage. So I was right in the chair about maybe 10 or 12 feet from him on the stage. And it was amazing to watch him play, the power. You know, his hands, they were big, and I mean, he could really...
Yeah.
And he was a much older man at the time, and he was phenomenal.
And his style changed over the years. I mean, he overcame a lot of, limitations. I mean, you're a pianist, but it seemed like he was playing through a lot of physical limitations that age brought along, but he was still an amazing virtuoso.
Oh, yeah. 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 He was a pianist. I'm a piano player.
All right, Mr. Piano Player, what do you want to share with us next?
We got Cheek to Cheek. We can do Lullaby of the Leaves, Body and Soul.
Let's do Cheek to Cheek.
Okay.
All right. Cheek to Cheek by?
Irving Berlin.
Irving Berlin. All right.
Is it what key? Is it C?
You do it C?
Yeah, okay. C's good.
Hey, let's hear another track from Steve from Now See Who You Are.
Yeah, this one's called One for Nick. Danny and I had talked earlier about a mutual friend of ours named Nick Strauss, who was a big influence on me when I was a young player. And so I named a song after him. And this is called One for Nick.
Let's hear it. What branch of jazz do you guys most identify with?
Well, I would say my style is out of.
I hear a lot of stride.
Yeah, well.
You're a decent stride player. Right?
That's because there's no bass player here. So
yeah. Right. He didn't show up tonight. You said influences, is that what it
was? Yeah. I mean, what do you gravitate towards?
You know, it's funny, another piano player I forgot to mention from the area. Because all the early influences were really definitely local, mm-hmm. And Johnny Coates Jr. would be another one. Johnny mm-hmm. Coates Jr. is just an unsung hero of the piano, really, and he's a local Trenton legend, really.
Yeah.
But I think more for me, I kind of love every style that I hear, so I like great piano players like Art Tatum or Oscar Peters or Wynton Kelly. Dave McKenna. I'm more familiar with the older players than I am with even more of the younger players that are on the scene today. I just don't keep up as much with who the new players are. Sometimes, people like Danny will tell me about new guys on the scene. Other musicians will tell me because either I just don't investigate it enough, and there certainly are just so many players out there.
Yeah, it's crazy. There used to be a term that I don't hear much anymore called mainstream, and mainstream was like playing tunes, like the American Songbook kind of tunes, and,
right?
But having a reference of kind of the boppers and be able to kind of play, and that's what kind of grabs me. Like I hear guys like a hero of mine is John Swanner from Philadelphia, who plays really great, very modern, and kind of like in the Woody Shaw, not that he plays like Woody Shaw, but I kind of hear that, and I can't do that. Like I feel like phony trying to play like that way, because it's just not like my voice. Like at least I have a voice now, and I know what I can do, and I'm kind of that mainstream thing. I know a lot of traditional, I play a lot of like Dixieland gigs and
right.
old 20s big band music and all that kind of stuff.
And I could relate to that as well, because I don't consider myself a mainstream or modern player, because I tend to gravitate towards because of the jobs that I play. You know, when you play a lot of a piano in restaurants and private parties, you're playing to an audience that you don't want to alienate, because you know you want to get hired again. So you play cocktail piano. And there's definitely a style of cocktail piano where your creativity can be there somewhat, but you don't go too far away from the melody of, you know, of the songs.
It's like that movie La La Land. Remember the guy got exactly, fired?
Right. And Danny mentions La La Land. You know, the person who, the young director, writer of that film was a former student of mine. And he also directed and wrote Whiplash as well. And
Is that about you, Steve?
No, that was not about me. But there is a secondary music teacher in that film, played by an African-American actor. And in the credits, you'll see he wrote the credit. The character's name is Mr. Kramer, which was a great honor to me from this particular student, because I had him when I first started in the high school 20 years ago, and he was one of my first students. And there was always something about that kid, you know, going back to talking about students. I always thought he was going to be a great drummer. Turns out he becomes a great director. But one of the great things that happened to me this past year that also involves the guy who, Damien Chazelle, is the guy who directed and wrote Whiplash. I sent him an email after I saw, just before La La Land came out, and he had already done Whiplash, you know, and so as a joke, I emailed him. I said, did you name a character after me again in this movie, like maybe a pet or a street or something? And he wrote this, and it was at a time where I was feeling kind of down about teaching, not so much, you know, just... You know how you go through that period where it's like you've been doing it for so long? Are you reaching everybody? Is this really what I'm going to be doing until I, you know, retire or drop dead? And he sent me an email back, and it said, no characters named after you in this film, but the love of jazz that you inspired me is all over it. And just that little saying, that little thing that he wrote to me, rejuvenated me and made me feel great about being a teacher.
Wow, that's great.
Absolutely. Whether you like the movie or not, of course, I'm biased, but that really meant a lot to me, and the fact that he took the time to say that.
Right.
Of course, now he doesn't return my email after he won the Academy Award. No, I'm just kidding.
Let's segue then to something that really, I think, is your voice, Steve, and this is from the CD that you made, that I recorded for you, and it's I Found a New Baby. And, I mean, I feel like you're someone who's not hesitant to draw from the riches of the American Songbook, and you know, and that's a big part of your voice, and I mean that in a really positive sort of way. Mm-hmm. But this particular tune is the one that we picked from your CD. This is your voice, and this is from Steve Kramer's CD, which is titled which is titled As Time Goes By. And this is I Found a New Baby from As Time Goes By. So Denny and Steve, let's talk about what you're doing out in the local music scene. What are some projects on the horizon for you guys?
So the problem is that there's not much going on locally. So Steve and I have a date coming up at America's oldest continuously running jazz club called the Deerhead Inn up at the Delaware Water Gap. And that's a very
well. That's still local.
Famous place.
That's,
yeah, it's local.
It's in New Jersey.
And we'll be there with a quartet on January 28th.
Great. Of 2017, this is the first time we're of 2018. 2018,
yeah.
First time we're playing this show. And what else?
Well, yeah, you play a lot in the city.
I play a lot in New York, and I'm like a sub. So if anybody. I get called in for a lot of different trumpet players. And so I'm working quite a bit in New York and sometimes Philadelphia. And I have some trips coming out to the West Coast.
So you're going to go on the road with Medeiros?
Yeah, I have a festival in Sun Valley, Idaho coming up and one in California.
And that's the whole swing jazz scene, right? And these guys really have got a pockets of fans all over the country, but a lot out of the Midwest.
Yes, true.
Which takes you guys out that way.
Yeah.
And then Steve, we're recording in September now. You're probably just finishing up a stint at the Gables in LBI.
That's right. I play at a restaurant in Long Beach Island most of the summer. That's kind of a place that I call home now to play. I don't have any commercial bands anymore, wedding groups. If somebody calls me to do a wedding or a private party where they want a little jazz band, I'll put a little trio together. Quite frankly, I really just don't play out that much anymore. There aren't any places that have real pianos. Deerhead Inn has a real piano. But the one down the shore at the Gables has a beautiful Steinway piano. And that's pretty much the only place I play. And other than that, it's just private parties. Quite frankly, my teaching job keeps me busy, and that's enough for the most part. I miss playing out, but there's, like Danny says, around here, there's not a lot of venues. And I think in a way also from not playing as much, I'm kind of limited in what I can do. Most of the time, I've always been a leader of a band. So I pick and choose the songs, I create the set lists, and I play the songs that I know. So it's difficult for me to go out to be hired as a sideman because musicians who play all the time they know a ton more songs than I do. And quite frankly, that's probably one of the drawbacks for me is that I don't know as many songs as somebody like Danny knows. I could read chord changes and play tunes, but I don't have a lot of songs memorized.
Well, in your self-effacing comments, just to give our listeners some perspective, they're hearing from the guy who came into the studio and laid down about 30 tracks off the top of his head one night.
That's true.
So I think it's fair to say
that's because
you
rushed me,
Robert.
You rushed me. I think this song in the Wee Small Hours of the Morning is from the album of the same name.
Isn't it from...
Is it?
Well, I know Sinatra recorded it on Only the Lonely.
Oh, is it?
Oh,
Only the Lonely?
Wow.
Yep.
Well, what a classic.
Isn't it true, supposedly, that that album was responsible for a lot of babies being born around that time?
Maybe.
This was like a really romantic, great album at the time.
That's a beloved album. Yeah.
Yeah. And this song, In the Wee Small Hours of the Morning, is from that album, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, let's hear it.
Thank you.
are there internet or social media contacts or email addresses where people can find you if they want to learn more about you?
I have a website, DannyTobias.com, and on the website you can buy a CD, or there's a link that goes to, like, I think I have 100 and some YouTube things.
Wow.
That I just kind of collect and made a channel. And so that's fun. I mean, you can see all kinds of stuff on there, and it's kind of fun.
Excellent. And what about you, Steve?
Most of my... I do have a website. It's skramer.com, Kramer with a K, and Kramer with one M. And I do have a website, and I have some videos up there. A couple of them are with Danny. And then I have a Facebook page, and pretty much all I put in there is videos, comedy videos with my mother, who's 84 and game for anything.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so I don't promote myself all that much. I'm kind of a closet case, Robert.
That's what you say about yourself, but we know your role in the community. Steve Kramer and Danny Tobias, this has just been a wonderful 2 hours, and I thank you so much. I thank you for sharing your art and your creativity and your energy and your passion for great music with the community, and I know our listeners are very grateful for this.
Robert, I made a CD in your studio, so that'll be coming out soon.
That'll be coming out soon?
Yeah.
Excellent.
So that's... you'll be seeing me on the street corner.
as time goes by, right, yes.
Peddle my new CD.
This is Robert Bullington, host of Jazz Discoveries, and I've been joined by local musicians Steve Kramer and Danny Tobias. Thank you guys so much for sharing.
Thank you, Robert.
For sharing your music with our audience. Again, this is Steve Kramer and Danny Tobias, and we're closing out with This Can't Be Love. One, two, three.